and also with you.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Mark.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Now after John was arrested, Jesus came to Galilee proclaiming the good news of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news." As Jesus passed along the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." And immediately they left their nets and followed him. As he went a little farther, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, who were in their boat mending the nets. Immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him. The Gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Let's have a seat. This morning, the sun rose officially at 7:30. And tomorrow, it will rise at 7:29, a whole minute sooner. We might not notice a little tiny change if we weren't out there watching the horizon and checking our watch. But minute by minute, right here in dark, cold, snowy Norwood, we're gaining light every day. Outside and all around us, whether we see it or not, whether we notice it or not, the world is slowly responding to the changing of the seasons. From the sappy depths of the trees, to all those furry little animals were getting ready to begin the process of shedding their winter coats and letting their sleek summer fur grow in. And inside us, our bodies are even now slowly adjusting to this growing life, preparing for a new rhythm of waking and sleeping, keeping us in sync with the lengthening days. And even the genetic makeup of our blood is different from winter to spring. It's changing with the turning of the season from a denser winter blend of immune responders to a fat-burning, bodybuilding, water-retaining hormone type of blood for summer. It happens inside us, whether we see it or not. In one verse today, one simple verse, Mark gives us a substance of what Jesus taught all the time as he traveled from village to village. The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news. Now, if we've been there, if we've been sitting on the grassy hill or standing along the shore of the Sea of Galilee listening, we would have heard those words with our own ears. We would have heard it in our own language. We would have heard his tone of voice. We would have seen his expression as he spoke. And I'm sure he would also have told stories and illustrated the meaning of his words with things that we know, things that are familiar to us from the world around us. It's one of the greatest gifts that we have as the people of God to have these words, the words of Jesus Christ, recorded for us, so that we can read what he said hundreds and hundreds of years later. But it's also a real challenge for us, I think, to read Jesus' words as they're written down and translated for us, rather than hearing them. And particularly, it's a challenge for us to hear them in a fresh way when we've heard them so many times before. We've heard about the kingdom, and we've heard about repentance, and we've heard about the gospel. And there's this great danger always that we should be aware of for the life-giving words of Jesus to become kind of a formula that we can rattle off like E equals MC squared without really understanding it. Or at least if we do understand without our knowledge, making that journey from our heads down to our hearts and out into our hands where we can put them into practice. So today, rather than talking about "I will make you fishers of men," which I've done twice before in my career as a priest, I want to just concentrate on that one verse I want us to listen to it with fresh ears, to the real meaning of what Jesus was announcing to the people of Galilee. And as it turns out, Jesus began by proclaiming the coming of a new season. There's several different Greek words for time when he says the time of the kingdom has come, but what the word that Jesus uses when he says that the time is fulfilled is a word that means the season, the appointed time. What he's saying is a change is coming, a new season is arriving, something altogether new is happening. The time is right, and just like the lengthening of the days at the approach of spring, nothing can stop it from happening. It is happening, and it's happening now. That's how Jesus was announcing the drawing near of the kingdom of God. Its coming is unstoppable, just like the coming of spring. But when we say the kingdom is arriving, it's also a very different way of talking about kingdoms than we're used to. When we think of kingdoms, we generally think of political powers and geographical boundaries and nationalism and everything that goes with the kingdoms of man, the kingdoms of this world. But when Jesus talked about the arrival of the kingdom of God, whenever he talked about it, it wasn't like that at all. Whenever Jesus talked about the kingdom of God, it was about something that grows. The kingdom of God, he once said, is like a tiny little seed that a man plants in his garden, and it grows to become the largest of all the garden plants. And it offers shelter for all the birds in the air. And another time Jesus said, the kingdom of God is like that little bitty spoonful of yeast that a woman kneads into her lump of dough, and it spreads through the whole loaf to make it rise. And yet another time, Jesus said, the kingdom is like a little bitty pearl of immense value that a man found in a field and sold everything he had just so he could possess it. So the unstoppable coming of God's kingdom isn't anything like human kingdoms who come storming in with their armies and their trumpets and a great menacing show of power. It's a lot more, much more, like that minute-by-minute approach of spring that we're experiencing right now, lengthening the day slowly but surely, sometimes without even noticing it, but bringing about a transformation of the whole world in its coming. And because that kind of kingdom is drawing near to us, Jesus gives us two commands. He tells us, repent, and he tells us, believe. And again, these are words that we have a tendency to misunderstand because we've heard them so many times, because people have misused them so many times. Religions have used the word repentance so often as a way of proclaiming judgment or condemnation on people. We have been given to believe that to repent is just to feel bad about yourself, to feel like you're a bad person, to stop doing bad things and to start trying really hard to do good things. We've made repentance into this legal matter. But the word Jesus uses, it's this Greek word, metanoia. It's not about following rules, it's about change. It's about transformation, it's about being changed and about changing directions and the way we're thinking, the way we're acting. So to repent at the coming of a new season, the way that Jesus is speaking of it, is like getting up in the morning, say tomorrow morning, and not focusing on continuing to survive this long, dreary winter anymore, but changing our outlook, changing our actions, anticipating the coming of spring. Because believing doesn't mean just agreeing to a set of doctrines. It means choosing to trust. It means living by faith. So it would mean starting some seeds on your windowsill. It would mean watching the weather, anticipating the melting of the snow, and thinking about getting your hands into that soil when the snow finally melts. It means trusting that today there will be more light than there was yesterday. There will. It means trusting that the next day there will be even more. It means expecting that there will be new life and not just trying to preserve old life. That's repenting. And just like the coming of spring, with the drawing near of God's kingdom, we can see the change happening. We can see the transforming effects of the kingdom outside of us. We see it in the lives of people we know whose lives have been transformed by the presence of God. Haven't you known people whose lives are changed so much when they come to understand that God loves them? In the way that things like grace and forgiveness and compassion are able to transform even the most terrible darkness and suffering in the world. We see that in the news when something terrible happens, when there's a shooting, when there's a tragedy, and there are people who offer forgiveness. There are people who offer compassion, and the whole world sees that. That is from God. That's the light. We see that in certain people whose lives are just illuminated from within by the kingdom. Martin Luther King Jr., Pope Francis, Mother Teresa, individuals that you know in the world. And we can also see the transforming effects of the kingdom inside of us. If you look back in your life, you see how God has given you understanding and patience and the ability to forgive maybe things that you never thought you would be able to forgive. And maybe not perfectly yet, but in growing measure, minute by minute, bit by bit, day by day. And all that is why Jesus' message is called the good news, because that's what the word gospel means. Joyous news. The coming of the kingdom is neither more nor less than the arrival at long, long last of the season of life. After so many centuries of darkness and coldness of our sin and our fear and our uncertainty, we see its coming by faith. Not always with our human eyes, but we see it by faith. Ever since the birth of Jesus Christ, minute by minute, the light of God has been dawning in our world. And in faith, then, we change the way that we live. We change the way that we think. We plant seeds of love and hope and kindness. Even when the soil still looks awfully hard, even when it looks pretty frosty, we trust that warmth and light are surely going to come and bring life to that. And that is the joyous news that Jesus was proclaiming on that day to the people in Galilee. And that is the joyous news that he proclaims to us today. Amen.